This is the Three Rivers Marine Tech Line, presented by Daiwa. Feel alive.
Welcome back to the Outdoor Line, 866-979-3776. You can always text us up, 710-710, powered by Everett Outboards. Welcome to the Three Rivers Marine Tech Line, and today we're going to break down the technique, the productive technique, that is boondogging.
Boondogging, side drifting, free drifting.
Free drifting.
Politically correct in all genres.
What's that? Yeah. What's not correct about
I don't know. Somebody will be offended
by boondogging
nowadays. Side drifting. Right. Just so everybody knows all the lingo here. Right. It started on the same thing.
It did.
It all began on the Skagit back in the day, Nelly.
Mm-hmm. Back in the day.
Drifting junk off the back of those big log rafts as they're floating down the river.
That's true.
That's where it all started. Now it's pretty refined nowadays.
Yeah.
And it's the technique of fishing for steelhead from a moving boat.
Right.
Okay? Whether that be a drift boat or a jet boat. You know, a lot of guys fish the callots. You see those guys. That's kind of where it all started. Guys like Clancy Holt, Mike Kelly kind of developed this technique down there. And basically, Dwayne, what do you start with? You start with about a 9.5 foot slow action rod.
Spinning rod.
6 to 10 pound rated rod.
Yep.
You know, of course, we use the XMG50 Lama glasses. Killer,
love that. It's a 6 to 10 weight, 9.5 foot. It's an absolute
real
perfect rod.
Soft action.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to spool that up. You know, you're going to use a Daiwa 2500 series reel. Seems to be just about right. Maybe a 3000 series reel.
Yeah, those are perfect. Mm-hmm. Plus, if you use the 3000 series, you can get a little salmon in
you
there.
You can stand a little more line.
That size reel it crosses over, and you have multiple uses for it. But you know, on them smaller rivers drift boat, I stick with a 2500. But a lot of the sled guys will run up to that 3000 or 30 series.
But from the sled, the concept of this technique, and I completely agree with the longer rods. It's, you know, well, I got to backtrack just a little bit here, because if your first experience is drifting, whether it be a float or just bottom bouncing, that's the crux of the technique of boondogging, because you cast upstream and then the gear floats down. But the advantage to using this out of a sled or even a drift boat is the fact that your gear always stays upstream of you when you're doing it right, and you're combing that drift and you're pulling
the slack out of your line, kind of the how-to maybe at the end of this. But let's finish up with some of the rigging stuff.
Okay.
You know, I ran those Daiwa Lagunas for a year, and they were so inexpensive, too.
Yep,
I still got those things.
Yeah, I do, too.
They last.
And now I'm running the Airds. Great little reel. The Daiwa's got some just killer products.
So what pound test mainline are you going to spool up?
So you're going to go, you know, most of the guys will spool up with 10-pound. I like to run 12.
I do, too.
Bobby Kratzer got me doing that quite a few years ago.
Yep.
You get your stuff back quite a bit.
You do.
And you run high-vis lines so you can see where those lines are. Nelly, you're right.
That's a key point.
You want to keep that stuff above the boat.
Boat angle,
okay?
And line angle.
We'll talk about why here in a second.
Right.
Now, a lot of guys are running braid. We just talked to Darren Holberg about running braid, running 20-pound. Daiwa's got the new Daiwa, that Samurai line.
Samurai braid.
Brand new line, really limber.
Yep.
Nice thing about that, not only can you feel the bite, you're getting your junk back.
Yeah.
You're getting your lead back or your stick weight or whatever it is. You're not retying all the time. So either run, and I suggest this time of year, 12-pound high-vis mono, or going to that 20-pound Daiwa Samurai braid. Now, there's three leads you can run.
There is now.
There was only two. Solid core to a swivel. And, of course, you can run a slip weight and stuff. That's another discussion.
Sure. And just, so the solid, a great way to do this, punching it.
It's just punch a hole in
it.
Hanging
on the swivel.
And set yourself up a box of various sizes, because you're going to need several different sizes if you're going to do this. So I like to run solid core lead. You can run slinkies.
Yep.
And now, Dwayne.
Yes, sir.
You're a big fan of the stick weight, and
man,
so am I.
I tell you what, I started using that. Just thought, you know what, this thing doesn't hang up in all of the presentations. I'm going to give it a go on this side drifting. I have never lost, other than a root wad, I've never lost a stick lead side drifting.
To the rocks.
To the rock. And, okay, so you want to test it on all test grounds that God has given us? Go out to the Ho River.
Yeah.
Bouldery.
In low water. There's nothing more grabby than
that. And me and the two young guns, LJ and JP, were out there this last week. We float dogged. We side drift most of the day as well in that bouldery water with the stick leads, and the three of us fishing hard all day. Never lost a single weight.
Well, and I see that as being a more viable weighting system, especially out of a drift boat rather than slinkies. Slinkies, they're great, but I tell you what, you don't get as much feel on the bottom with slinkies. Okay?
They're real spongy.
They're spongy.
Yep.
And the real problem is with slinkies, they're not dense. They don't sink quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you want to pitch a pocket in a drift boat, and quite often these pockets pockets aren't that big, you're not going to get your gear down fast enough often with slinkies. With stick weights or solid lead, you will. It's denser, it sinks quicker.
And from the jet boat, I was a big fan of just using lead for that very reason. Yeah. I know, guys, when I throw it in there, it's on the bottom right now.
Right now.
So you get yourself a box with several different compartments in it. You know, you might start at 1 inch length. Inch and a half, 2 inches, 2.5
That's how I always did it, yeah.
If you're running slinkies, you get those .270 balls. Okay, you might rig up some with two balls, three balls, four balls, five balls, and just have various weights in there. If it's stick leads, you do the same thing, and you just get
or you just run the full length all day, and you know what? You just run the full length all day.
Yeah, but you want some different, different weights for different flows.
Absolutely.
You'll get a feel for that. And then as far as your leader, you know, you hear guys talking about six, seven, eight foot leaders. You know what?
No.
All of my stuff is tied on 6 foot leaders. I always chop them down. Even in clear water, I'm generally running about a 4 foot leader to a double. I run two Mustad size four hooks with either a cheater or a corky in between. A lot of guys will run size two hooks.
Which is this year. And I talked to you
big
about that.
Big fish this year.
Big fish this year and in the drift boat, and you got to get going on the sticks to chase these buggers. Mm-hmm. I switched out to those Mustad size 2 with that same size cheater, and I tell you what.
With
the
10-pound line.
With 10-pound line.
It makes a big difference. Because generally, I mean, you want to use 8-pound leaders, especially with hatchery fish. There is a good reason for the longer leaders. And when you use a small corky and a long leader, you get a more natural drift.
You do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
You do.
And if you're using short leaders, you tend to get the boat tends to give it an unnatural drift. You get a little forgiveness with that big leader with regard to where that thing's floating in the water column. So
I'm just a fan of a little shorter leaders.
I hear you. I mean, short being, you know, the traditional from the beach, you're using 24-inch leaders or 30-inch leaders.
We're still talking 4 foot.
You can't do that. You can't do that
Your leader size too. Now, I mean, we're talking sleds versus drift boats, and we're also talking big river, small river, bouldery river. I mean, I guarantee out on the hoe, I was actually side drifting 15-pound fluorocarbon leaders with size 2 hooks. Why? Because the fish are big, and you got to chase them in all the debris and the structure and everything else.
Okay, so now your leader material. I am not a fan of fluorocarbon on your side drifting.
Fluorocarbon
sinks. Okay, and if you want to lose all your gear, right, you're going to lose a lot of gear doing this anyways. Run fluorocarbon. You're going to break off every single leader you throw out there. So definitely stick with mono on this side drifting deal.
You betcha.
So now, and they're going to bait up with just a little chunk of eggs.
And little. I mean, we're talking thumbnail.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, or a little bigger.
Give or take from there. Absolutely, Dale. You're right on the money. Maybe some prawn, piece of prawn,
Little fillet of prawn.
You're a fan of that?
I am. And I've had much more success, again, and we've talked about it before. I take those 5160 count full length, cut them lengthwise, make a fillet.
Yep.
It's fluid, it moves, it rolls around the water. It's like a squid, you know, it's kind of pulsates and moves. You put a chunk of meat on there, tends to sink and just drag. You put that fillet on there, much more fluid, much more natural presentation that fish respond to. And that's really, I mean, talk about leader length and all that. We're trying to create that natural presentation that moves freely, right? And doesn't stop and go all the time.
Absolutely. And then, Nelly, earlier you mentioned keeping that stuff above the boat. You know, once you get even with the boat, you want to reel in and recast and keep it above the boat. What happens?
What was your number one challenge when you were guiding?
Yeah.
Telling guys about this technique.
Yeah.
Keeping your gear upstream.
The reason is you want the boat to pull that hook right into the corner of their mouth.
Exactly.
When they pick it up and the stuff's above the boat, you're pulling it right into the corner of their mouth. And 9 times out of 10, they actually don't eat. They do eat the bait, but it doesn't go down their throat. They're hooked in the corner of their mouth. So that's the key to this, and controlling your boat speed. Keeping your boat, you know, if you're in a drift boat, you either have to push ahead or pull back and kind of control it that way. The jet boat, of course.
You're using the kicker.
It might be an electric motor. A lot of guys running those nowadays.
But when you cast downstream, and guys will be tempted because, man, they'll see a hole, they'll see a little slot or a bucket coming up, and they'll cast downstream into it. But think of what's happening. You're moving downstream, you cast downstream, you're introducing slack into your presentation, and slack line is a feel killer.
Yeah.
All right.
It is.
So when you
and you're
going to
get hung up.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, you're no doubt. That's a great point, Dwayne. Mm-hmm. And so keeping your gear above the boat enhances your feel, gives you that hook setting advantage, and you're fishing with everybody, and you can get everybody fishing a different length of line with keeping your gear upstream. Man, you're raking a wide swath of this hole. Tremendously effective.
And you made a good point there, Nelly. You look down river, see what's coming. You know, in the drift boat, for me, it's always looking down to see, you know, where's those hole shots in between the branches hanging over. So like reel them in, guys, you're going to hit that spot. And boy, that's one of the frustrations too.
Yeah.
The guy's got to hit the spots to get to the fish. And so, and the high-vis line that we're talking about, there's two purposes. One, so the fisherman can actually track where their line is. And two, boat operator, it's crucial to be able to see where those lines are lying.